Okay. Well, hey everyone, welcome back. So we watched off 185. I'm Jeremy. Joining me as always is Shahid. What's going on, man?
Nothing much. Just enjoying my day so far and enjoying the 3-day weekend I'm about to have, and no complaints.
Oh, you're off tomorrow?
Yeah, I took tomorrow off.
Oh, well, shit. All right. Well, we could have changed things. Made it easier. Well, anyways, I realized this when we started talking. I barely talked to you this week. So, what have you been doing? You been hiding?
No, I've been working and cooking and relaxing. Whatever. I don't know what you've been doing besides trying to pass out in the gym because you're trying to deadlift 700 pounds before you die or whatever your goal is.
You know, that's the one thing in the gym we haven't done in a while. Like, we hit those big benchmarks. We've barely done it since. I'm like, no, I was getting somewhere. So, and then now I start doing the Olympic lifting, and that's not part of Olympic lifting. So, oh, the plight. Anyways, I'm actually going to Charleston next week. So, or actually, trying to go tomorrow, but I don't think Elisa's going to go for that. So, going Saturday, be gone for a week. And I will be getting in the ocean when we go to the beach. So, this could be the very last show with all my appendages or life. So,
okay, go ahead, Aquaman. Go for it.
I've seen the movie. I know how it works. You just talk to him.
Yeah, it is funny. People are making jokes about him because he just had a regular stomach with abs instead of having an 8-pack. They're trying to shame. I'm like, you know how much shame and lack of self-awareness you have to be to talk about how Jason Momoa looks?
Yeah. Yes.
Of all people. Like, what do you, like, no, so he doesn't look like a comic book because he's on vacation? Like, he still has visible abs. What are we doing?
Yeah. Well, that's just all that petty nonsense anyways. Like, people thinking that it's easy to do without any, like, actual self-awareness of, you know.
Somebody made the comment that's very apt, and Cam also made a comment saying the one thing about being in shape is that you always get judged based on being in shape. So when the moment you're not in shape, you're going to get, you know, clown. Like, nobody care about Chris Pratt being fat when he was fat.
Yeah.
But if Chris Pratt became fat now, then the jokes will come.
Yeah, and then also they'll start saying, well, what did he do to get in shape to begin with? Is he not doing it anymore? That sort of, like, I'm talking like pharmaceuticals, that sort of thing. Yeah, and that's kind of like a new thing for guys, isn't it?
Yes, that started, when did that start?
Well, Brando got really fat.
I mean, people like will gain and lose weight normally, but like the whole muscle thing, I want to say started the 80s with like action stars and the 90s with everybody else. Like Nick Cage was like the first one I kind of noticed doing it because like he went from doing Leaving Las Vegas to like The Rock and Con Air and Face Off. Like imagine winning the Oscar and then those are your next three movies. Just, you know, like if what would be the equivalent? If someone said if Robert De Niro won for Raging Bull, and then he did like Predator, Commando, and Die Hard.
Wow. All right. I know it's not where we were really going, but could you imagine if that was De Niro in like those roles? How fucking funny that would have been? Or how weird that would be?
Yeah. So, but no, like the whole body thing is just always, it's, especially now because of the whole pressure of like you always got to look perfect. And it's just a mess. It's like, he looks fine. He looks more than fine. But it's like, since he doesn't have, you know, 8-pack with the contour makeup on his abs, or some people want to call him fat. And there's normally people who are really fat that's calling him fat.
Oh, yeah, I think that goes beyond saying, even though I was about to say the exact same thing. But yeah, it's never the pretty people that are commenting on it. Let's leave it at that if you want. But no, just it's embarrassing. And I don't know. I'm far from somebody who should comment on someone's looks, unless you look like a damn disaster. You know, like an unhealthy disaster. Then you gotta be like, hey, what's going on, man? Not, man, you've only got 6 abs instead of 8? Okay. Like if Tony Nese all of a sudden came out, to use a wrestling reference, and only had a 6-pack, you'd be like, hey, man, you're letting yourself go. Like, slow down.
Yes.
Well, speaking of body stuff, I found this kind of weird. This is not something I brought up before, but so the U.S. Women's National Team, you know, wins the World Cup for the women, excuse me, because the men, So then one of the headlines I saw, it was like Yahoo. I never really pay attention to Yahoo News because it's trash. And then I realized they're just taking other articles and putting it on Yahoo. Well, one was, here's the behind the scenes of the United States Women's National Team's bikini pool party or something. And I'm like, well, I know the pervs want to see it, so I get it. But, huh? Like, what? Wait, why are we doing this? Like, why is that acceptable?
Why is that news?
Well, then...
I mean, no, it's like, why... Too. No, not... I know why, but it's like, why are they... I know why it's out, but why are they reporting in the first place? Like, behind the scenes at the pool party? Like, it's Yahoo Sports.
Yeah.
If that was TMZ, yeah, that's like Entertainment Weekly, yeah. It's sports. That has nothing to do with sports. It's not an ESPN magazine type thing either.
Sorry, I was going to jump on it, but I just stopped for a sec.
But no, it's just kind of like, I get the point in general, but not for an organization like that that should be like, this isn't what we do, so why are we doing this?
Yeah, I just thought it was very strange. And then all of a sudden then the ESPN body issue or whatever comes out or is coming out, and they've got like almost... like sexy photos. I thought the body issue was supposed to be like a celebration of different athletes' bodies, and it's basically just their version of the swimsuit issue.
I mean, but it's different. Like, it's, you could say it's the version of the swimsuit issue, but you would never see Prince Fielder in a swimsuit issue,
right?
And he's been in a body issue before.
There's that, but yeah. Then like they had again, and maybe it's just her. And I'm not first. I am not criticizing her for this at all, because one, awesome, and then two, it's her decision, but. Like, she's got, like, a sheer swimsuit on and all this stuff. And I'm like, I didn't think that was the spirit of the body issue. Like, unless these are just, like, outtakes or some other stuff. But, like, they were released
It probably is, because most of the time they tend to be nude.
Yeah. And she's got, like, thong underwear and whatever else on. Yeah. And
if it's a behind-the-scenes thing, then that probably explains it more. Because, like, you know, when I'm not taking shots, I'm going to throw some clothes on.
Yeah. And then it's just weird, like, the whole thing with the women's national team getting press doesn't surprise me. Like, that's not where I'm going. But now the scrutiny of it, and, well, one, the scrutiny, because obviously they pissed off everybody because they're really good, and they weren't afraid to show it.
Wait.
And brag.
I laugh when it's the whole everybody, like, who's everybody?
Wait, what you mean?
No, when they say this whole pissed off, like, no. You know how we talk about how a few people tend to be real loud and we make it to be like a larger number what it is?
Yeah, that's fair.
And I think it's kind of like this, like, it's part of it with this whole, one, people hate successful women who are proud of themselves, because it's this whole, like, shut up, honey, and all this stuff. Like, you know, let us tell you when it's time for you to share. And not just the fact that they were good, the fact that they were good, knew they were good, and celebrate they were good. Like, people do not, as arrogant as America is, people really have an issue with celebrating.
Yeah, and well, in this case, it was actually other women as well. You know, when they beat, who was it, poor Thailand, 13-1 or 13-0, you had, like, the Canadian women's team talking smack.
And we did the same thing before when they played somebody. Yeah, I heard that the Canada team came out and said, like, you had to show decorum, and then somebody brought tape of when they did it to somebody.
Yeah, and then who was it? When they were playing England. England was doing the same thing. And it's just, it's weird, because we're in a time, I hate saying it like that, but just, I'm just going to go with it. We're in a place where now, like, women are supposedly going to be supporting each other, you know. It's good. I know. And then you see the reality of it, where it's like, no one's really supporting anybody.
No. Don't make the mistake of thinking like a few. No, it's, I think it's this whole, we hear the loudest, and now we don't hear everybody. Yeah, because, like, we were talking about at work, and, you know, I work with mostly women because it's pharmacy related, and they were all like, you know, they badass, they my heroes.
Yep.
And it's like different ages, and you see that more than but people don't pay attention to that. They pay attention more to, like, you know, some loudmouth saying, oh, you need to show decorum. And of course it's going to be a news thing when they basically telling the president, like, shut the hell up. And then, you know, and he's like, well, I didn't invite you anyway. Go win. So they win and then still not go. Like, that's – so that's going to get press anyway when you basically back up your words and you just walk around. It's like Ric Flair. I'm going to come in and win a title. And they went in there and they strutted and won the title. They said they were going to win. They won. They bragged about it while they were doing it. And they bragged about it afterward. I'm like, when you win, you get to do what you want. Like, those are the rules.
Yeah, I also like I'm not sure. I'm not a huge soccer or football person. I watch it because I do enjoy watching it. I'm not going to say that I understand everything. Like, Kevin, he can give you a breakdown of everything. He watches it. He has season tickets to the crew, all this stuff. One thing that always stands out is when someone scores, the celebrations are ridiculous. Almost always, unless you're getting beat like 13-0 or something, you know, mm-hmm. and you 13-1, you're not exactly going to celebrate. But even then, you scored a World Cup goal. I'd expect you to be a little, you know, over exuberant about it. But then, I just didn't understand the criticism of, okay, no, you score, and I did like some of the celebrations. They were clearly trolling. I mean, I think it was the same person. She scored against England. Was it England? No, Megan is Rapinoe, right? That's how you say her last name. She didn't play against England, right?
I think she sat out either that game or the game after.
Okay. Well, no, it had to be England because when she scored, she mimicked that she was drinking a cup of tea.
Oh, that was Alex Morgan who did that.
Oh, that was Alex Morgan? Okay. Mm-hmm. Either way, that's hilarious. And it always comes down to, well, don't let him score and that doesn't happen. So, but then all of a sudden that's a huge problem. And you see these leagues around the world, you've got people, men and women's leagues, they're choreographed for Christ's sake. They had one where the guy was taking a dump. And like, so he was sitting on one of his other teammates, and his other teammate was the back of the bowl. He's reading a pseudo newspaper, gets done, he flushes it, and then they all swirl down. But yet,
You know the reason why. I'm just laughing like you're getting dick. Like, we know why. We know why they're doing it. We know who's doing it. Like, it's, of course, like, it's weak-minded people. And it's mostly men. Like, the women say a little bit. That's mostly men. Well, they need to have the decorum in class. For what?
Oh, that was like, funny. Did we talk about that? Was it Roger Stone? What was his name? When they beat Thailand 13-0, and he goes, well, you know, you could have laid off. And they were like, and everybody jumped on him, including Alexei Lawless, which I thought was really funny. But the women were like, no, absolutely not.
What's this laying off thing? It's like, do that when you're six. Once you get to a certain level, it's like, you, especially in soccer where aggregate counts and, like, you know, number of goals can be a tiebreaker in certain situations. There ain't no laying. Like, no. You hear, that's how it goes. Yeah. And it's not like an adult playing with a child. It's like children playing each other where it's a mercy rule. It ain't no mercy rule at this level. And if it's not a mercy rule, it's not up to you to show mercy. This whole people, I have a serious issue with sportsmanship or the idea of sportsmanship because it's based off nonsense. It's like once you get to a certain level, if you're playing within the rules, the goal is to win. And you get to win as much as you want, little as you want. This whole we got to take it easy. Why?
Well, in all honesty, what's worse? You scoring, like, you just... I lost my train of thought. So what's worse? Scoring, and this is in any sport, scoring at will, if you want to put it that way, or just middling around, where the other team knows you're just dicking around.
Imagine, like, yeah, it's like, not only that, imagine living in the United States of all places, knowing anything about the history of the United States and American culture, and then be like, we need to take it easy and show mercy.
Yeah.
Since when has America ever done that in anything in life at all? Like, no. Save that for Sweden. Save that for some like, save that for Switzerland, some of that. You cannot be American, live here with a straight face, and actually say that and think people won't look at you seriously. Like, that's crap. So kudos to Megan Rapinoe. Kudos to Alex Morgan. Kudos to the team for basically talking, you know, walking their talk and putting the shine on people. And then the whole pay thing, people say, oh, should they get paid? I'm like, they should be getting paid more because, like, they bring in more revenue than the men do. They bring in more TV ratings than the men do. They're far more successful than the men. Like, so it shouldn't be like the whole equal thing is like, if we really being honest, being equal would be unfair to them because like they better than the men. Like it's just watch wrestling kind of like the same. We watched wrestling enough time where it's like it was a big old time when the women were better than men. The women were getting main events and nobody really complained too much because like they deserved it. And it's like that whole why should they get paid more? They better than you. They make more money than you. That's the American way. Like everybody want to talk about. Everybody want to be all about fair scale now when it hurt men.
Well, it's funny. It's funny you said that. I like how you brought up the wrestling part of this because, I mean, obviously she's under contract probably for a while. But imagine if Becky Lynch was a free agent right now or was coming up. As I mean,
she get a blank check. How much do you think AEW will pay her?
Oh yeah,
she's just on the cover of ESPN the magazine.
Yeah, and then featured on the she wasn't featured on the ESPYs, was she? That was more like a Roman thing. But no, yeah, she was up for an award. But no, so it's like, just imagine if she was like. Would she be making Randy Orton money? You know?
She'd be making as much, please.
If probably you more, ate, actually, it's Randy.
More, yeah. Like, more. What, so. $7-8 million a year? Easy?
Yeah, with the merchandise she brings in. Yeah. Now, it's impossible to say house shows because they don't even promote those anymore. But it's like merchandise and then ticket sales for, you know, I don't know how they would do that anymore. Other than, I want this much. We're not paying that. Well, I'm going to AEW.
Yeah, it's kind of like, it's a reason, because we can, you know, it's a reason why Maria Kanellis is making $500,000 a year. Think about that.
Okay, since you brought her up, I haven't talked about this with anybody. So, apparently they signed the contract, and then they told her that she was pregnant afterwards?
Yeah. What they gonna do?
I don't know.
I mean, trust me, I have absolutely no sympathy whatsoever for WWE.
Okay.
At all.
Let's talk about the wrong conversation then.
Yeah, because I'm like, we saw what happened with Dawn Marie. She got pregnant, basically got fired for getting pregnant. And that was a thing. Like, oh, she should have said anything. For what? Like,
wait,
I'm.
What do you mean she said? Wait. Who shouldn't have said anything?
No, they was like, maybe they should have divulged that, you know, being pregnant is a thing before they signed a contract. Why? Brian Pillman got called a genius for playing WCW to get a contract with WWE. Everybody said how smart he was. And Marie is a conniving bitch because she found out later? Like, and so what? I'm worried about Vince McMahon pockets. like honestly, like, what are we arguing? Like, oh, she making her money, so Cedric Alexander not going to make his? Like, what are we doing? Like, I can see that it's too many times where all of a sudden people become economic majors and like, we got to be socialists all of a sudden when you worry about rich people's money. Like, WWE does not have a salary cap. Last time I checked, it doesn't make a difference how much, because obviously they not worry about paying people because you hear the people like, we getting these 4 or 5 year deals to keep them. So it's like, AEW's a thing, everybody getting paid good. I don't care if she ever has a match. It's irrelevant to me as far as her entertainment value or what she does. That's a whole separate thing based on then pay.
You know, like, what's crazy to me is she's not even a wrestler. Like, I know she'd get in the ring here and there, but she was never a wrestler. So they're spending that much money for her to look pretty. You know? I mean, and I'm not saying, hey, fuck her or anything, but it's like, they're paying her to be eye candy. What a weird world.
Hey, that's how it go.
And that's why I'm glad I brought this up with you, because I didn't actually think of it that way. And now, yeah, I'm totally with you. Screw them.
Yeah, like, you know how much money, like this whole thing, like they had to fight to get healthcare. Like, I'm oh, Maria shouldn't get, why not? Oh, so Vince can get, like, I'm sure all that money they gave from Saudi can cover that Maria contract. So, whatever. Yeah, and they about to have another show. That's why they canceled some shows in Europe, because they're going to have another Saudi show.
Is that why they canceled them?
That's why they postponed some shows in Italy somewhere else, because they're rumored to have a show in Saudi Arabia. That's the word on the street. So, no, I do not feel bad about anybody getting more money than, quote-unquote, they deserve in WWE. Because guess what? If they get it, that means they deserve it.
This is a weird time, though, for wrestlers. Because they're handing out stuff. Like, who just re-signed? Gallows and Anderson just re-signed. Mm-hmm. And I guess getting paid pretty well. I mean, no details have come out really, but 5-year deal. So effectively, that's the end of their career, I would think, because they're both in their mid-30s. Yeah. So,
and at first they got offered a deal, they turned it down, and they ended up getting offered more money.
And then now, the Revival apparently aren't real happy again, and apparently they never signed deals. So,
all right. If you didn't, you can get money somewhere else. Yeah. Get money somewhere else. I'm like, I'm always for wrestlers getting paid if they can get it, because too many times it's a monopoly, they get screwed when they didn't. It's like, it puts pressure on them to work harder, work better. Because it's like, okay, if they don't get the money, who gets the money? The fans not going to get the money. Like,
yeah, they sure ain't lowering.
Last time I checked, wrestling tickets aren't getting any cheaper, so why would I care? But it's just this funny American thing. Like, oh, we got to keep things balanced. Why? Usually when people say we got to keep things balanced, it means I want the owners to have money because I root for the owners because maybe one day deep down I might be rich like them. I never understood that thought process, but that's an American thought process. I'm like, let Anderson and Gallo get all the money they can get. And if the Revival went there and they ain't signed a contract, they want to leave, let them leave. Like it's no point Luke Harper just sitting there wasting away.
Yeah,
you're not going to use them and you're not going to sign them, let him go. Like, let him get paid somewhere else.
I guess the argument there would be, well, he's getting paid. I mean, they're still paying him not to do anything.
Yeah, but it's like you just paying him. I mean, you just paying him. Okay, then fine. He get paid not to do anything. It's like you just paying him just to pay him.
Yeah,
like, you just wasting. Like, you want to waste your money that way because you spiteful. Fine, but I have learned, especially this part of my life, that wrestling has always been spiteful, and they've been run by spiteful people for as long as I remember. And I'm like, whatever.
It's also this weird thing where people complain about their jobs in everyday life, and then root for management in other forms of entertainment or sports or business. Like, no, they don't deserve that much. Wait, weren't you just complaining that you're not getting paid enough? Like, I've had a total change around with this just because of my situation. And, well, a long time ago I had this change around, like when I got old and had bills. But I just don't understand that whole mentality. I know, I think we've talked about this before too, but I just never understood that. Well, that baseball player's not worth it. We're the ones paying for it. Like, yeah, we are. So
we're paying because we think it's worth it. Like, we ain't paying to see the owners.
Yeah, but at the same time, it's like, well, then don't go and make the owners absorb the cost.
I mean, that's...
But then they don't. They just undercut what they're paying the players.
Yeah, so it's like, you feel sorry for owners?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, we can't compete. So that nobody forced you to buy a team? That's the thing that cracked me up the most, especially when it comes to sports. Like, nope, it's people lined up and down the street to buy sports teams. I have no sympathy for sports owners who cry poverty. Like, just sell it and go back to making the money the way you make it so some other joker can go ahead and buy, you know, his vanity project. But fans would be like, oh, well, they somehow earned the right to own a team because they daddy did something and just left with the son. But the people I'm actually watching that bring me enjoyment, he need to be grateful because otherwise he'd be flipping burgers. Like, no, he wouldn't. Like, what are we talking? Like, one, why are you making fun of people that flip burgers when you go to McDonald's every day? Two, what are you talking about?
Yeah. No, we've got a situation going on here where David Tepper bought the Carolina Panthers.
Mm-hmm.
He bought it for $2 billion. This guy is worth $7 billion. He then takes over a team that is financially successful as it is. Right now, he bought a team that was financially successful. Jerry Richardson was going to sell it this year, but then it came out that he's a dirty boy, so he got rid of it last year. He still made $2 billion off of, I think, $300 million investment. I think that's what the team cost way back then. So don't feel bad for him. But then also, David Tepper comes in and goes, all right, we need state-of-the-art practice facility. Cool. So I'm with the city of Charlotte to help us out. And the city's like, no. We just put $90 million into a stadium. Into Bank of America. So then he goes across the border to Rock Hill. And the state of South Carolina cut him regardless of what it is, it's more than zero. They cut him tax breaks to build a practice facility, a hotel, like all this land. The guy's worth, or even after buying the team for $2 billion, which of course was done with a loan, I'm sure, he still has $5 billion left. Now he's talking about a new stadium. And you know what's going to happen here? And it's like, well, if you build a billion-dollar stadium and you just did this $2 billion thing, you did this, you still have $3 billion left.
I ain't spending. Look, millionaires don't become billionaires by spending their money.
And that's always the excuse. And I get it.
That's like, I mean, and I always laugh at the whole thing. That's why trickle-down economics is a joke. I'm like, people who have money, like keeping their money. They're like giving it to nobody, especially some poor people. What's wrong with you?
No, especially when the government comes in and goes, oh, yeah, we'll help you. Wait, what?
Because, like, oh, if we don't, then they take the team away, and we don't want to be like Seattle and Los Angeles. Like, Los Angeles did just fine without having football teams.
Seattle seems to be doing pretty good without the Sonics, too, right?
Well, that's a don't say that to Seattle people. They will get very upset about that.
It's not like they went poverty stricken.
They didn't go poverty stricken, but it's like that's still a sore spot. But it's a reason why no one has sympathy for Oklahoma City either. It's like y'all stole a team from Seattle, and then you want to be too cheap to pay, you know,
players
in Oklahoma City, so they all leave, and it's like, oh, what about small markets? I'm like, Clay Bennett's a billionaire. Small market, my ass.
Yeah, and I get it, like, you know. You save your money, so you know you
and
don't lose it.
Yeah.
But
it's nonsense,
it's just ridiculous. Yeah.
And it's always like, you know, we're gonna scam, we holding up the city for money, and fans got to get their taxes raised and everything like that, so the owners can get paid, and then they take it on the players.
Yep.
But it's the same as WWE. Like I'm thinking, like, you know, the whole way cut back power or save money. Save who money? Like whose? Vince's? Oh, good. He saved money so he can do the XFL all over again. I guess that's so much. I'd rather see Pyro when Brock Lesnar come out than the damn XFL come again. Like, that's an easy damn choice.
Well, especially after finding out why the XFL is even back. Because that documentary, what's the kid's name that started the American Football League or whatever it was called?
Something. Peter Ebersol? Well, Dick's son.
Yeah, Peter Ebersol then, yeah. They called to ask if they could buy the XFL name, and Vince realized, Vince thought, they want to bring football back. I'll bring it back. No.
Like, he always wanted to bring it back.
Oh, I'm sure. You know that has to bother him.
He always wanted to, especially now. It's like I could find a niche. And it's kind of like, it's a way to do it, but it's kind of like, don't expect much. Because it's like only people like football. But it's like anything in America, they won't watch sports where they don't feel like they're watching the best product.
Yeah.
In college, they get away with it because they have allegiance to their alma mater. So they do that. And a lot of places, like, you don't have a pro team, so that's what you root for. But, like, it's the reason why soccer is not a big deal in America, because they don't think Americans are the best at it. And it's the reason why other sports are niche sports. Like, America, we like spending money on excellence.
Yeah, and that's...
Which I laugh at the fact that, like, we say all that and that's all the thing, but then we get mad at teams that actually show excellence because they actually, like, they say they want other people to tell them they're great. They don't want to hear the people say it themselves.
Yeah. Well, it's funny. You brought up the Oklahoma Thunder or Oklahoma City Thunder, whatever. I'm not a huge basketball guy, but I know now that, like, there's a potential that they're going to trade Russell Westbrook.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, cool, the Pistons need him, so that'd be fine. Maybe that would get me back in if the Pistons were good, because it's been a long time. But then I also started thinking about this, and again, my limited knowledge of basketball. They had, I mean, the three best players in the league at one. I mean,
they basically had three people that end up becoming MVP. Yes,
and they never won anything.
Yes.
That's insanity to me. And now they're all gone as well. Like,
yes. It happens, and that's why it's kind of like, you know, this whole you got all the time in the world, like, no, you don't. Mm-mm. Like, that whole I'm a plan for 10 years, that sounds real nice when you, like, saving for, like, a house. Not for no sports team. You never know what might happen.
Yeah.
Somebody get hurt, somebody fall out with somebody else, or your owner cheap. OKC owner was cheap, and then that's what happened.
Yeah.
So that's why they traded James Harden, and then... It's issues between Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook, and they trade Kevin Durant. And it's amazing how...
I thought Durant was a free agent.
Well, basically, like, he didn't stay. Like, he could have stayed. He left because, like, there was a big gap. Because, like, one year where the salary cap jumped, like, this huge, ridiculous number. And it's like, it was just enough space and just the right time for him to go to Golden State. So he went. And then people put up Russell Westbrook. Oh, he's a hero. He stayed. He did the right way. And look what that got him. Look what being a hero got you.
Yeah, now it's got him getting traded. But he's...
Like, sports loyalty has always been one side. It's always stupid. Like, people seriously have issues with players who want to pick where they want to play at. Oh, it's like owners, coaches, oh, they're smart because they drafted this way. Or they're smart. No, Blake Griffin signed with the Clippers. They was going to say, we're going to retire your number. We're going to do this, this, and this. And the first year he signed his brand new deal, he get traded to Detroit. Yep. You think he was like, oh, I want to play in Detroit? Like, he didn't. No offense to Detroit. He's like, he wasn't thinking that. It's like he wasn't. It's like the same way Kawhi Leonard. Like he didn't want to play in Toronto. He played. They traded him. Contract's over. He leaves. That's how it works. But this whole other side, like, is wrestling the same thing. You gotta stick it out for the boys and stick it out for the company. Wrestle hurt for the card. Stop being a fool.
Yeah, and I don't see. I can see that kind of changing now, but it's. I don't know, man. I think getting older has kind of helped with this perspective, because that was kind of the views I would hold when you're a kid or younger. Because, like, yeah, well, you're a super fan, and then life kind of smacks you. Could you imagine if, like, with what we do, we have a 5-year contract, we're getting paid pretty good money, but then somebody else comes in and goes, "Hey, we'll give you a 3-year deal for triple what you're getting." You think, I mean, you could go back to where you're at if you like it there, and be like, "Hey, you want to pay me this much?" No, I can't pay you this much. Yeah, but I know how much money I bring in here, and you'll be making way more than you're going to pay me. No, we can't. Peace out. I mean, that would be an incredible option to have.
Nah, but it's different with sports because I'm rooting for you.
Yeah. My favorite one is hockey. Okay. Oh, everyone talks about, oh, these guys are loyal and this and this.
Please like my sport.
No, but I'm like, no. Hockey doesn't have any loyalty. It never has. You guys need to keep helping us get on that bus for 2 minutes. Oh, all right. And, well, no, because it used to be the trade deadline at hockey, you'd have hundreds of guys getting traded. Mm-hmm. And maybe not hundreds, but like 100 guys would get traded between teams. You're telling me that all those guys were, like, all the owners that were loyal to the team? They're trying to make the team better. Well, these guys are trying, and women for that matter. I don't really know much about the WNBA, but there is a women's professional soccer league, isn't there?
Yes.
All right. I don't know anything about that either. So, and I don't think I've ever seen a game.
No, that sound in the background was I was trying to turn it down. Xavier Woods is up, up, down, down. They're going to VidCon to try to get 2 million subscribers. And Triple H just pops in the window, talking about, maybe be a special surprise.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay, let's get into wrestling. We gotta talk about that. You remember what a piece of shit Triple H was? Mm-hmm. Everyone hated him. And now, mm-hmm. He's God now, which is just the weirdest thing.
Like, to the fact where people were asking, why didn't he take over SmackDown? And somebody was basically saying, they protect him. One day he's going to have the big chair, and if just in case if something doesn't go right with SmackDown, they don't want that stigma on them.
Yeah.
Which makes sense. It's like, because it's going to be a lot of pressure to get that right. And because I always thought that it was like, Bischoff. Like, that couldn't have been their first choice. And then people always wonder, like, Triple H. But then it's like, well, that makes sense because, like, if it failed, it looked bad on him. And that's something you don't want to deal with going in the future, especially if you got bigger plans for him. But the fact that it's kind of like, Triple H is the patron saint of professional wrestling is something that is sound weird, even though it's been that way for a while, but it just sounds weird to still thinking that.
Yeah, because remember how many people he destroyed their careers or buried or whatever else? I mean, true or not, that was the thought. And then how many times he was always winning the famous, like a couple famous ones, Booker T being one, and then beating Goldberg in that Elimination Chamber. Mm-hmm. Remember that when the crowd was going insane for Goldberg finally?
And even when he got like respected, like beating Sting at Mania.
Yeah, that was still
for like no good reason. Oh no, but it's kind of like that just happens. Did he beat the Undertaker in Saudi? Or did Undertaker win?
No. He. I don't remember. No, he did win. He finally beat the Undertaker.
Yeah, yes. He won. Like, even, you know, that's neither here nor there. But it's kind of like all those things being there. But it's like, you know, I think it's part of it is like he understands modern wrestling. And, like, he likes what he likes is what the fans like. But he's able to, like, you know, I'm not stuck in a certain time frame. I can adjust with the times. Like, the people he likes, like, people that you should like. And it shows where the people that, you know, his NXT children, whatever like that, they act like they take a bullet for that man.
Yeah.
You know,
and again, I guess a lot of that would come with age, too. I mean, you're not, God, I would hope you're not the same at almost 50 like he is than you were when you were in your 30s.
Look at Vince McMahon.
Oh, I know, but I mean, how sad would that be, though? Like, ugh.
I mean, it's a lot of old people like that. Some certain people, like, their mindset ends up like, they still, like, I was the man in high school, like Al Bundy syndrome. There's a lot of Al Bundy syndrome that walks around on the planet. It's a lot of people in wrestling that's involved with that, where they can adapt. But this, the whole effect, like, Triple H, I'm going to go to this whole video game thing to help out Xavier Woods.
Was that like a live video?
It was it's on the WWE Twitter.
Oh, okay. All right.
So it's like 22 seconds, like Xavier Woods talking about, you know, up, down, down, what we trying to do, and then like the last 5 seconds of it, Triple H comes out and says something. Like I had the volume up because busy doing the show, but that's the fact. You have a screenshot of Xavier Woods and Triple H. And like, when would you ever think you would ever see that? Like, somebody said that like 6-7 years ago.
Yeah. All right, two things on Xavier Woods. One, Big E, Tuesday, when they were talking about how they were going to have a three-way on Sunday.
Yeah, I caught that joke.
And Big E goes, oh, well, that's not what I was planning on. No, that's not what I was thinking of when he said three-way on Sunday. And Xavier goes, sir. And he looks at him like, really? I started busting up laughing. Like, Elise goes, what's that about? And I'm like, well, all that Paige stuff, there's videos of, like, you know, Xavier and Brad Maddox tag teaming her. And she goes, oh, I'm like, yeah. So
And I remember the first SmackDown they had after those videos came out, and you see Xavier in the middle, and you see Kofi looking at Big E, looking at, like, you know, something you want to say.
Yeah. And then, yeah, I can't remember the joke, but it was basically like, yeah, you've been a naughty boy. Like, I don't think they let him talk.
No, they did not.
Yeah.
And it just like, basically, and it's funny where it's like something that wasn't said. Everybody knew what the joke was.
Yes.
And everybody got on the joke. And it's kind of this whole thing. It's like, we can't talk too much about it, but he's kind of like, you know, the cat's out the bag. Yeah. But that's just a weird thing, like, you know, where wrestling is and just like where Triple H is. And, you know, I know part of like saying he wanted to focus more on NXT, and people are like, ha, that's so I'm like, he goes out to Mania and like these pay-per-views with like a jacket with an NXT patch on it. Mm-hmm. That's like NXT is obviously important to him.
It's also like it's got to be nice having like total creative control of it too. Because, mm-hmm, you know, SmackDown, you're going to have to go down there and Vince is going to, you know, be doing his stuff, whatever else. It's no matter what Bischoff and Paul Heyman do, it has to go through Vince. Mm-hmm. So it's a nice, cool title to get people excited that, well, they did announce it on their Twitter, like their social media platforms, but I don't know who the announcement was for. Was it to get people to think, you know, everything's going to change, it's going to be better now?
I mean, it's something like it's important to the people who think that's important. And it's not to the people who don't, but it's like it was noticeable because like that's a big deal. I think the Heyman one wasn't that surprising. Him taking Raw was, It was like Heyman has been doing creative stuff like individual people, so it was kind of like him having more control with people not going to frown too much about it, even though it seemed out of nowhere. The Bischoff one was the surprising one because, like, you hadn't even thought about him for the longest. He hasn't had control for the longest. And this is a man that tried to put Vince McMahon out of business. Yeah. So, and it's like, you know, he's there and he's doing the Big Show, like, you know, SmackDown, look at these, they're going to be on Fox.
And I think that's why he got that. Instead of, because, you know, we keep hearing the rumors that Fox wants more of a sports presentation. I'm not saying Bischoff's there can do that.
I would pick Heyman for that.
But do you want Heyman dealing with Fox executives, or do you want Bischoff dealing with them? Which I know Vince is still going to be in there too.
Yeah, I would say the exec thing is one thing, but it's like Fox has been focused. You know, the whole thing is like we want ratings, we want this, this, and this, and it's like I would think you would want the person you trust the most pushing the show that paid you the most.
Yeah, true.
For the network that paid you the most. So, I mean, at the end of the day, it's like they only can do so much as long as Mr. McMahon is there. And it's going to be, like, you've seen some changes, a lot of them good, some bad, but it's kind of, like, still going to be a waiting. Like, as long as Vince McMahon is alive and still has creative control, it's only so much that can happen.
Yeah. And that's, I'm trying to figure out, now, we already heard the rumors that, you know, Fox doesn't want anybody from Raw on SmackDown and vice versa. But lately, have they even mentioned the wild card? I mean, no. It's just been everybody on whatever show.
Yeah, like some people just been doing storylines on, they just been doing different storylines on different shows, being the same people. Like I see Kofi on Raw fighting one person, Kofi on SmackDown fighting somebody else. Or seeing like Nikki Cross on both shows, or The Miz on both shows, or Alexa on both shows. It's like this whole, like, the wild card thing just seems like it's just seems silly because like they don't even bring it up anymore. It's like people just show up.
Yeah, but then they have a graphic that says they're from SmackDown. I'm like, what?
I mean, I guess you got to stick to it. And I think the biggest issue is you doing that. Time crunch was already an issue anyway. And now you got people on both shows. It's like, okay, if they're on both shows, that means somebody's like nowhere. Like it's been weeks and months when it's like you haven't seen like a Nakamura or like the Iconics or some like, you know, like a Randy Orton, somebody.
Well, Orton was barely on anyways. I guess he has the hurt neck. That's what Meltzer said. But then how about, you know what? I can't remember their names. From my childhood, I want to call them the Shogun Warriors, but they're not.
The Kabuki Warriors.
Thank you. Yes. And then Paige comes out and says she actually has to remind Creative that there's a women's tag team title. Like, what the hell's going on?
They've been making, like, the Iconics won the title, haven't defended it since they won the title. And to the point where that's the storyline, like, they haven't defended the title. And they just been showing up.
What's funny is they did. Because that was the Nikki Cross and Alexa. And then Bayley cost them the match.
I don't even remember them. I don't remember that being a title match.
Yeah, it was. Yes, because Nikki was mad because that was going to be her first title in WWE. That's how that all started. Yeah. So
once. Yeah. Mania was when? April? Yeah, we're in July. Yeah, exactly. We're in July. And then the whole thing is like, yeah, we won in Japan, so we're going to have a title match. We don't know when, but we'll have one soon. And it's like you just had people just sitting around. Like Aleister Black's going to finally have a match.
I was hoping it was Randy Orton. I don't know. I mean, I like Cesaro. I think he's obviously talented, but I don't know. I thought a bigger impact would have been if it was Randy. And didn't it kind of fit?
I mean, now are you looking for an impact or a good match? I mean, like Randy Orton can have a good match if he wants to have a good match, but if he's already banged up and he's not passionate, Randy Orton can also have a boring match. Cesaro doesn't have boring matches.
That's true. But, like, I guess for impact, I guess Aleister Black coming out and beating Randy Orton the first time would be a bigger impact.
If you're going to do something with him.
Yeah. And, boy, they've really changed that character around from the NXT days because I don't remember him ever talking this much in NXT. Let alone how passionate he is when he talks.
He's talked before, but normally it's like been a promo when he was getting mad, like Johnny Gargano or something.
Yeah.
So, or like, who beat me up when he's trying to figure it out for like 3 months? No, it's kind of like they split up him and Ricochet, and they didn't know what to do with him.
Yeah, because he's been sitting in that room ever since.
Mm-hmm. And it's been a lot of that where we have these people, we know their talent, we want you not to forget about them, but we have no idea what to do with them till we figure it out. Because they have an issue where they got too many people.
Well, they've got too many people, and then they've got the wrong people on TV. The Shane McMahon's the one that comes to mind immediately. I actually really enjoyed that Kevin Owens stuff. I mean, I know it was all scripted, but I don't know. He seemed like, again, I know it was scripted, but he seemed fired up. Like, that was something he was really wanting to get off his chest.
Yeah.
Which can make him just a great promo. So.
Yeah, the things with Shane McMahon is like when you have people cutting promos saying he's sucking up too much TV time and you need to get him off TV, you know it's a problem, but at the same time, you know they don't care.
Yeah.
Like if somebody said, like, you know, Shane McMahon might have a title by Survivor Series, would you be that surprised?
Well, I guess that the plans for that have changed, I guess. That was the original plan.
Yeah, I'm like,
not, so.
Well, that's good. But I'm like, would you be that surprised if that happened? Based on what they've been booking him, like he's just been in the main event, just beating wrestling Roman Reigns for a standstill. Like, what are we doing? Yeah. Like, and my thing is, what's the point? Mm-hmm. That's always been my thing with all this. Like, what? Why? Like,
yeah,
why?
Yeah, if they were going to have May a full-time wrestler, why didn't they just pull the trigger during the Attitude Era? Well, he was in the ring a bunch, but, I mean, not featured like this.
It's like, no one wants to see, like, you know, Shane in small doses is fine. This is not small doses. And him being an overbearing heel that gets by because his daddy runs the show just leans too much toward real-life nepotism, which people don't want to see. And it's like, oh, it's about getting the heat and everything like that. Trust me, you're going to get the wrong type of heat if you had him beat Kofi Kingston for the title. Like that is not the type of reaction you really want.
Yeah. And you know the bad thing is it's unpopular and it would be. But logic sense, like with him constantly saying he's the best in the world doing all this, him beating Kofi makes sense. With the help of Drew McIntyre and all this, him beating Kofi actually is logical. And that's just where sometimes logic sucks, cuz ugh, who wants that? So I'm glad to hear that now that's apparently over. And, like, this whole Kevin Owens thing is the beginning of the end of this. It's the beginning of the end of Shane on TV all the time. So, now, whether that's true or not, we're going
to
see, obviously.
I hope they figure out what to do with Kevin Owens. Is he going to be a babyface or a heel or this whole... When you waffle, that's never good long-term. So, consistent. I mean, they got enough people that they can get it together. But it's like, it's too many times where it's like stuff going on. It's like too meta, like the Seth Rollins and Becky Lynch. They know, like, they know it's a thing, and they know that people complain about it. And it's like, it's a weird thing where it's like, what are you supposed to do? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, like, people know they're together, so you can't hide it anymore. Normally, they just kind of don't push that, but it's like, is it the cast out the bag? They pushed it, so now it's the whole thing. It's like, oh, we're uncomfortable seeing it. Why?
Well, one, all right, not uncomfortable seeing it, but these scripted bits between the two make it look like they have no chemistry together. That whole thing where they're going psh, 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 or whatever, I'm like, these two are together, huh? Because that sure shit scene was awkward as hell.
I mean, that's writing.
Yeah, I know. Like, just let them be. They clearly have a natural chemistry together if they're actually together.
Yeah. So, and I've talked to you about this, and I've talked to Kevin about this. Like, the root of that issue is wrestling fans, for whatever reason, and I don't know if it's, like, comic-related, movie-related, they have issues with baby faces being sex symbols and, like, actually having partners. Like, being desired is one thing. Like, people love cheering for Jeff Hardy when he took his shirt off. You like that. When Jeff Hardy was Trish Stratus, they was like, ugh, I want to see this. Like, people do not want to, like, the thought of baby faces having sex is like, I can't wrap my head around it.
Yeah.
And that's always been insane. Like, you don't, like, what do you think they do? You think Stone Cold is sexless? He's Stone Cold Steve. Like, he this beer drinking roughneck Texan. You don't think he get whatever woman any bar he want? Like, what are we talking? Like, The Rock was the only one. And they never really put him with a woman. He just flirted a little bit like that. Rock was the only one that's like, yeah, The Rock probably gets laid. And Batista, when it was like almost statutory rape.
Okay.
With Melina, so.
Not to cut you off on this. Oh, yeah. But did you watch that Batista documentary?
I haven't watched it yet. I want to.
Oh, my God, dude. It's so fucking sad. Did you know he's divorced again?
No, I did not know that.
Okay. So, I guess he revealed it in this. And it's not so much the fact he got divorced. It happens. I'm not going to tell you what happens, though. I'm not going to tell you what he says. But just listen to him. And you're like, why did they leave this in here? Like,
I mean, he never...
This is supposed to be an uplifting story. It's not.
Well, I guess it's like if you look at where he is now.
No.
But it's a... I mean, I'm talking about like...
That's the crux of it. And he actually brings up that exact point. Like, where he's at... It's, yeah, I don't want to give it away. So, for the people who have seen it, I would hope they understand exactly what's going on here. But it was eye-opening. I was, like, almost borderline shocked when I watched it going.
I mean, I remember when he talked about interview, like, when he left WWE the first time, he was broke by the time he was, like, getting acting job. Like, he ran out of money, and he was, like, struggling and everything like that. And it's like. You would have never thought that if he never said anything. I'm like, because you think like, you know, Batista was making bank in WWE. So it's like.
That's brought up in there too, how much money he made. They never said anything about him almost going broke though.
No, he came out like an interview, said that somehow he was like grateful, you know, for getting his first acting jobs. Because like, you know, he had money. Then he didn't have money. Money wasn't coming in. And he was broke. So, yeah, it's. Wrestling's a funny thing. You think about the people who made money and still have their money, like Kevin Nash and Steve Austin. And then you think about the people like that made a whole bunch of money, like Lex Luger, how much money he made.
Yeah.
And he like, not even like Ric Flair, like know why Ric Flair doesn't have money. Cause you see him spend it all the damn time.
Yeah. And that's why I know Kevin Nash is like a really polarizing figure, but as a business guy, he's not broke, and he always said it's always about money.
Kevin Nash is my hero.
And, you know, he admits, yeah, this guy was a dick about it, but he goes, we're here to make money. And his wins and losses, I don't care. As long as I'm making money, who cares? And
he's right. It's a job.
So, but it's like when you mentioned, like, he's got money still, it's like, yeah, because he kept making it. Like, and he was smart about what he was doing. So
it's like this whole, it's this thing like, oh, it shouldn't be about the money. Employment is you should enjoy your job. A job is part of it. It's like you do something, they compensate you for it. That's the point.
Yeah.
And like, I never got this. I know it's not like not money just for the sake of money. Like if you're making money, you're miserable, then that's defeating the purpose. But Kevin Nash don't seem miserable. People got mad. Oh, well, he wasn't doing this. That ain't his fault. I always laughed at that idea when people get blamed for being put in situations that have nothing to do with them. Like Kevin Nash was a champ during a time period. And he brought it up saying like, you know, it's going to be ups and downs. It's going to be boom periods and bust periods. And most of the time, it will have nothing to do with you. You just do the best you can and try to make as much money and have as much happiness as possible. And he get this bad rap because he was the champ when WWE sucked the light. It ain't his fault he wrestled Mabel. Mm-hmm. It ain't his fault they turned to a smiling baby face when he got over being a badass heel. That has nothing to do with him. That's the boss' fault.
Yep.
And he get blamed for that. Like John Cena got blamed all that time. Oh, he was just the captain of a losing team and all that. I can't, like, history looks at him a lot more favorably now. Like, does John Cena look unhappy now? Mr. John Cena on the Mount Rushmore at WWE that made a whole lot of money and now he's a movie star? You think he like, oh, I wish they liked me like it was in the Attitude Era? Yeah, okay.
Yeah, well, we weren't making this amount of money in the Attitude Era either. And I guess we're sounding like really shallow, by the way. Constantly saying money, money, money. But here's the thing. What's that dumb saying, money can't buy happiness? Okay, you're correct. You can be, not lazy, but you can be a little sour-ass millionaire, you know? But you know what makes being happy, like, the things I want to do, you know what would make me a lot happier? If I had the money to go do them all the time. So it doesn't buy it, but it sure shit makes your happiness a lot easier.
I'd rather have money than not have money.
Yeah.
Because I have money now, and I've not had money now. I didn't necessarily need money to be happy. I'm very happy having money now, because it's stuff that you can do, you can't do. And it's like, you don't need money to be happy, but it helps. And especially that job, that's the... part of it is, it's like, I guess it'll end up leading to Sasha Banks. It's when you see the Rock and Roll Express, mm-hmm. and they still wrestling, and it's like you see them maybe they really enjoy wrestling. You really think they enjoy wrestling? It's like, I got bills to pay.
Yeah, I don't know how many kids they got between the two of them.
And it's like, I'm not gonna become a roofer with these bad knees all of a sudden. This is the best way for me to make money, so I have to do that. And it's like, they went to Hall of Fame, and yeah, they do this and that. But it's like, I know Ricky Moore and Robert Gibson, they think they'd be doing Canadian Destroyers in their damn late 50s.
Okay, but I'll tell you though, how impressive was that? I mean that's pretty incredible.
Yeah. Kudos for them for being able to do it. Like, they're alive, and it's like they can actually walk. I bet you they feel a lot better about themselves than Lex Luger feels about himself.
Oh yeah.
So something like that was kind of I'd rather be like Stone Cold. Like, he never came back, and people just stopped asking. It's like, it ain't happening, and it don't need to happen. I got enough money. And I don't need to do that anymore, because I can live comfortably doing that. And it's something to be said about enjoying your twilight years, where you can just chill and relax instead of this whole, I got to show up at an armory and show a poster how I used to look like. I laugh when I see those posters.
I feel bad.
You know Jake Roberts don't look like that anymore. Why are you showing a picture from him in 1987?
Yeah. Oh, my God. Speaking of Jake, I saw this. I can't remember what WrestleMania it was, but he was taking on Ted DiBiase. He had stolen the $1 million belt,
mm-hmm.
and he put it in the snake bag. You got to see the promo that Jake cuts, because I know he's been a pretty good redemption story now, after everything that he did to himself. He was one of my favorite wrestlers as a kid, and looking at seeing this promo, you just get it. Like, oh yeah, that's why.
Yeah, I remember talking about, the avarice will be your downfall. No, I remember the promo he cut.
Oh.
Yeah, basically talking about how, $1 million man's greed is going to be the reason why he's losing. He just sounded like, you didn't, he was like a sinister baby face.
Yeah, it was just great. And I know it gets into the thing now they script them. It's like, yeah, these are guys that really understood their characters. And, Vince didn't have people writing for him. Just crazy good, man, and I don't know.
Yeah, the whole script thing, I'm like, if it's people that need the script, script them. But let the other people be what they be. And the funny thing is, they know that. They've done that. They've had Stone Cold. They've had The Rock. They've had people just be able to talk, just talk. Like, you think Scott Steiner had a script?
Yeah. Right before we started, the Impact Twitch channel had the famous Scott Steiner promo, where these guys have
the math
33rd
one. Yeah.
Yes, it's still great.
Yeah, it's like people still remember that promo. People have made fun. They've had the T-shirts. They did the math. Like, you know what? Actually, the math ended up working out when you do the calculations. And it's like, yeah, it's a ridiculous promo that everyone still remembers, and it worked because I remember that. I remember that promo way more than the match. Like, I know they had a match, but the reason why I know they had a match is because of that Scott Steiner promo. And how long ago was that?
It didn't have a year on it, so I don't know. I also didn't watch the event.
Yeah, 12 years, 15 years? Like, And we still remember that. It was a long ass time.
Yeah. Well, it was just funny seeing like little Petey Pump. You know, what's his name? Petey Williams was little mm-hmm. little Pump or whatever his fucking name was.
Aren't they gonna be in the trio? So it's like him, Scott Petey, and Jordan Grace, matter of fact.
Oh wow. Oh yeah, yeah, because she's was it Thick Mama Pump? I think it's
something yeah. like that. Yeah. So hey, it works. And it's like stuff like that works. And they need to let these, and it's like even now, Becky Lynch became Becky Lynch because they let her be herself. And it's like, yep. let these people be themselves and get out the way. Like, and they do it in NXT. And sometimes they luck out in WWE. It's amazing for as smart as Vince McMahon is, and he's very smart. A lot of their best success stories came out of blonde-ass, dumb-ass luck.
Oh, yeah. Okay, since you mentioned NXT, did you watch it this week by chance?
I was going to watch it after the show. Okay. I saw Shirai come out with the Lucha Underground evil pants uh-huh. come boo for 50 seconds, say, you know, I don't need you, and left and drop the mic.
The music was cool. Like I'm supposed to dislike her, right? Because, and yeah, I'll say it. There's something way sexier about her being a bad guy than the nice.
People have always said that they like she makes a better heel than a babyface because like she's just because she was even with a babyface she was always like cocky like I'm good I know I'm good watch me be watch how good I am
yeah well it's the same thing with Asuka whenever she gets into her like bad girl mode and it's like that's way more appealing to me I will say it that way
it's and, not just you
yeah well I was a big Nikki Cross fan I still am. I'm just waiting for this whole thing with Alexa to go south so she turns back into the old crazy Nikki.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's the one I fell in love with. I'm like, she plays crazy perfectly. And then, as I told Kevin, it reminds me of some of the girls I dated in college. So I'm like, yeah, I got a crazy girl thing, I guess. So I'm like, fuck what? Yeah.
You know, it's a lot of people. It's a lot of that in wrestling.
Yeah.
I've realized that, like, a lot of how women book, like, yeah, with something like that. Like, I didn't talk to you about it on the show, and I didn't watch SmackDown this week, so I don't know how much they push it. Like, that whole Mandy Rose, Sonya Deville thing that's going on, it's like, and it didn't just start on the show, because it first started, like, backstage, they're like, it's got to be something.
They didn't, this week, no, they were just standing there.
Yeah, I figured they probably didn't do it this week, but I'm like, it's got, like, that was no accident, how they pushed that. And they have made a concerted effort, like, you know, embracing Sonya to be like, we're proud of her for being herself and being open. Because the whole first thing is like, she came out during Tough Enough. And, yeah. you know, she had the rainbow thing and things like that. And they pushed that. And it's like, you know, we're embracing that, stuff like that. And the worry is, you do that type of storyline. Do you trust WWE to do that storyline? Because it's like, you know, on one hand, yes, 2019 is a different WWE. On the other hand, we all remember Billy and Chuck.
And I think the difference here is these two are, like, legit best friends. So if they ever were to do something like that, they would be like, oh, no, we're not, like, I'm speaking rationally, so I'm just going to say that now.
I mean,
like, these two would say no. Like, this is not how this would play out.
But here's the thing. Alexa and Nia Jax are best friends. And they use that friendship to justify that storyline of, like, basically her and Mickie James call Nia Jax fat every week, even though Nia Jax end up being the hero and winning and showing, like, you know, body type doesn't matter. You should embrace who you are. I know a lot of people had issues with that storyline.
Really? See, I had none because she's a bad guy and she's a bitch. So, yeah, no, I mean, that's what
it's like. Do. Yeah, it's like, and that's the whole body shaming thing. It's like, I know it's like the point of her coming off a bully, but they did come off as like some assholes. In a way, it's like, yeah, you know, the winner is supposed to do that. But it's like, it was just, I know people had issue with that, and I can't really say they were wrong. I get the whole thing of like, you know, it's different with friends. You kind of know the boundaries stuff. Just because you know the boundaries don't mean, keep in mind, this is wrestling with everybody. Like, you know, if I die in real life, you can use that as a storyline. Just because you're cool with it don't mean necessarily the fans going to be cool with that. So I watched that because I remember watching the match. She won, and they stroke each other here. Looking, I was like, "And what's going on?" Because like does WWE really want to cross this path? Because I went on Twitter and people was either like, yeah, I saw that, or I'm definitely afraid of them messing this up, was the overriding theme. Because it's like, you know, do you trust WWE to have the nuance to do this? Because it's like, it's still, I mean, it's Vince McMahon.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I would hope that because they're, like, in other words, I know they're friends, but what I'm getting at more so is that they would be like, no, this isn't how it would play out. Because they're really treading in some weird water with Sonya Deville. Like, weird in the fact that they've never done this before. Like, remember, the big thing a long time ago used to be hot lesbian action.
And I was about to bring that up, you know? with their current new boss, Eric Bischoff, and it's like, wow, that was a thing.
Yeah.
They on WWE TV, we just going to have lesbians just make out. And
because remember, and that was the stipulation of if somebody lost, Stephanie had to have hot lesbian or HLA with somebody.
I remember this. And yeah. I'm like, just post attitude. I tell people, post attitude era was way scuzzier than the attitude era could think about being. We just tend to forget about it because it's like, it's that weird time frame between that and the PG era. But yeah, it's like you would think they wouldn't do that. It's wrestling. It's WWE. You know, pressure's a thing. Peer pressure's a thing. You don't want to let down the show. We got to do something for Fox.
it is Fox.
I mean, Fox Friday is like, you know, and they can say we're being progressive and stuff like that, and we're pushing boundaries show on this type. It's like, I get the idea behind it, and if it's done correctly, it works. Like, do people have issues with the storyline because it's like, they don't trust WWE romance, or is it because it's lesbian romance? It's like, if it was a man and a woman, would you have this same type of, you might worry, but with this whole consternation, and then it's this whole boundaries, like, you know, respect is like, just treating it like it's normal.
And I guess the big thing would be, because, you know, no relationships in wrestling work, if they went this route, so we're going to get, like, the first, that I know of at least, first, like, same-sex women couple, or just hooking up, whatever, I don't know, and then they have to have the eventual breakup, and it's like,
I mean, why not?
No, I'm not saying not doing it. I'm saying, do you trust them to do it? trust them to put them together.
Yeah, I don't know. It's like, it's a tricky thing, but sooner or later it's going to happen. And tell the seeds are there, and it's kind of like, you know, they like Sonya Deville. They really like Mandy Rose. Like, that's kind of like, you know, their quintessential, I'm blonde, I'm fit, I'm a powerhouse, and I'm young enough to mold, so you can do that.
Oh, and I also like girls. So like, wait, oh my God, that's got to be a Vince dream.
Mm-hmm.
Based on history, he's got to be like, all right, pal.
It's funny, that's happening, and we've always made the jokes, like, you know, the Iconics there in plain sight, me and my life partner, anything like that, even though they both met, like, I think Peyton Royce is on her bachelorette party because she's about to get married.
Yeah, Sean Spears.
Mm-hmm. So, boy, he outkicked his coverage, so.
Well, he was the perfect 10, so. Did he always have that tattoo on his arm?
I have no idea.
But, yeah.
So speaking of perfect, so I was telling you about Sasha Banks.
Yes.
Because she's been missing in action for the longest. It's been rumors like she should be coming back maybe soon, you know, if not Extreme Rules and around SummerSlam. So she took it upon herself to go to Japan and train with the Sendai girls. And Mike, you know, what's the name? Miles Satomura. Mm-hmm. That was in a Mae Young class taking pictures like, oh, I'm in the lobby and I hear Sasha Banks here. She wants to like learn, you know, how we wrestle. And Sasha Banks was talking about how she basically got around and got to where she needed to get to using Google Maps and Google Translator on her own time, her own dime. Like, whatever Sasha Banks is polarizing, whether the right reason or wrong reason, this woman loves wrestling. I would hope people realize that, because she's just like, I'm going to go to Japan to get better.
Yeah.
Just to do it. Like, if that was a guy, people would be talking about, like, that's stuff like Jericho used to brag about way back in the day. I'm going to go my own time to do this. I'm going to be a young boy and learn the dojo. And it's like, this Sasha Banks. Like, she already established, and she don't have to do this. And she's choosing to do this.
Do you think this is also like a ploy? Because Alexa routinely brings up the fact that Bailey, all of her friends abandon her. And I can't imagine Charlotte coming out to even the odds or, like, you know, whatever on Sunday. So this almost seems like something that they're setting up on purpose.
I mean, as far as her coming back, it's like that's, they've always talked about that. What she's doing her off time is her business. Like, I think those are like two separate things going on, because it's like they want her back. It's up to her whether she's going to come back or not. It's not this whole, I'm going to come back, you just let me. It's like they have to, they've been trying to convince her. And so, but they've always been petty.
It's also such a weird thing, because she is under contract. She just refuses to show up.
Yeah.
And I'm guessing they're paying her. I really don't know the answer to that.
Probably. One. And people are like, oh, why don't she sick? I'm like, why? You go to the job like you're supposed to be doing this project, this, and this, and then they lie. And then you find out the day of they lied and everything like that. It's like, oh, why don't you be like Bailey, just suck it up? Why? Okay, Bailey did that good for Bailey. She obviously ain't Bailey. She obviously felt pissed. And it came
there's
with the money
to
thing.
It then. There's more to it than just the tag titles, though.
No, I think it's – I think – does it?
Well
– people made fun of Bret Hart of being a mark for himself, and I'm like, who am I to tell Bret Hart he shouldn't think that's important to him? That's his life livelihood. And it's like and she's always had the attitude, like, you know, stuff that's important to her is real important to her, and – we just talked about the show about how it's like, oh, the shallow thing, think about money, and that's not the noble way. And it's like, okay, make fun of Kevin Nash because you care about money, and you make fun of Sasha Banks because you care about career.
Yeah.
Then who's right? Like, they both, like, whatever's right for you is right. And she seemed like, think about it, she ain't been back. And people making comments, she need to do this, this, and that. She felt strong enough for her principles to be like, no.
The only reason I'm saying there's got to be more than the tag titles is she's quoted as saying her and Bailey just berated McMahon to make these things, to finally give it to him, and then, you know, then they lose it. And it's like, well, it almost seems like there was something more promised outside of that. And that's what the real sticking point was.
I mean, yeah, it's like, you know, we figure we're going to make these titles seem important and everything like that. And instead, we're going to lose a Mania and we don't find out to the date of the show. And
yeah.
It's like, yeah, I'm like, people have left, like, people in wrestling have left for this. Or less, you know, more stuff for that. Like, that's been a thing. Like, I don't like this booking. Stone Cold left. Like, plenty of men have left. It's like, if it's a booking decision they disagree with or think it's stupid or they feel like it's unfair, I'm going home. And, you know, they make the jokes, take my ball and go home. But part of it is like, you know, he's sticking up for his principle. Sasha Banks do it. It's like, oh, this broad need to get with the program and yada, yada, yada. Like, no. Like, it don't necessarily work. Like, it's no guarantee. It's like, yeah, Bailey got that. I'm like, if you ain't Charlotte and you ain't Becky Lynch, it ain't no guarantees. As far as like that, you gotta look out for yourself. Because if you're not, nobody else gonna look out for you.
Yeah, I think the other part was, well, besides being a chick, that, you know, like you said, Sasha's always been polarizing. So if this was Bailey, I don't think this reaction would come. This kind of reaction would come.
Mm-mm. It would be muted. It wouldn't be as much. Oh yeah, it definitely wouldn't be, because it's like somebody compared it to somebody else. And they were saying, like, you know, you got this heat for Sasha Banks. Where's the same energy for this person? Like, oh, well, it's different. Like, it wasn't different. Like, you just didn't like Sasha Banks for your reasons. We know – I won't get into reasons because there's plenty of reasons. And most of them make no sense whatsoever. But whatever. I hope she comes back soon. I like watching her wrestle. But, you know, the ball's in her court.
Yeah, it really is. Everything really does reside with her. So – and also, I'm just trying to figure out, like, you know, she comes back, obviously, they're going to find something for her, but it's like, where does she fit right now? You got stupid Lacey Evans. We're sorry. Obviously not a personal thing, because I don't know the lady, but enough. And the mere idea that Corbin and her could potentially win, like even as a fluke, it's just it's going backwards. Like
I do declare, I'm you nasties. I'm gonna make the title great again. It's you know I will say this. It says a lot that they somehow made this woman a heel. And I said she'd be great as a heel, even though it's kind of like she's an all-American mom that brags about being a good wife and daughter, and she was a damn Marine.
Yes.
And she's a heel and, like, an obnoxious one. People, and I never met anybody that ever thought about cheering her at all. And it's like, you normally don't have veterans as heels.
Well, and remember, they did, like, even in NXT, they tried making her a good guy to start with.
And I knew it didn't, I knew it wouldn't
and
work.
It bombed.
I remember
viciously.
When it was in a Mae Young class and Kevin was talking about, oh, she, you know, they got her, blah, blah, blah. She's going to be big. I'm like, I can't wait till she become a heel because she's so, she had that Michelle McCool obnoxious, like, I'm so proud to be a wife and cook my husband food when he worked hard. And I'm so proud to be a good mom. I'm like, nobody want to hear all that. Nope. Like, it's that Kurt Angle stuff. Like, you know, it's something about being real great, and you can be real great and talking about how good you are. And she just came off as great. And I'm like, yeah, this ain't going to work as a baby face.
And then they just when she debuted in NXT, I'm sorry, not that. Well, yeah, I guess outside the Mae Young Classic, she was instantly a heel then. Like, it's almost as if they were like, nah, screw it, we're just get rid of this. And just, I guess someone backstage went, you know, this doesn't make any sense, right? So, you know, I will be missing all of this stuff this weekend. Well, unfortunately, I guess I can maybe watch it in the morning if everyone else is still sleeping. But I will miss Evolve, which I'm actually really looking forward to that show. We got
it's amazing that song that they've been hyping that.
Yeah, and I guess it's funny that the selective people that they've showed come from Evolve. So,
of course.
But yeah, Stu didn't watch NXT because there was actually some interesting stuff on there this week.
Yeah, I will. As I'm watching Triple H take a picture with Kofi and his son at the ESPYs. Because, of course.
you saw that picture of him mugging behind, him and Stephanie mugging behind Roman Reigns?
Uh-huh.
Like a proud papa?
Yeah, so. And they've, and I've also, because they were at the Premier Stuber, it was Triple H, Stephanie, somebody else.
That
so,
is next week, right?
No, that's this week.
Okay, because I know Lion King comes out today. Or, yeah, today, as we're recording this. And I've heard decent things about it, except for the fact that it is a literal shot-for-shot remake of the
Well, people movie. Complain when they changed it, so they keep it. I mean, Disney, well, I mean, like,
I've
oh,
never,
well.
I've never seen Jungle Book or any of the other ones, so I have no leg to stand. Oh! Before we go, this has a very good chance of breaking this streak. Did you see the Mulan preview?
Yes.
Dude, that looks cool. I was, because you know, I'm just like, I've been on the fence or whatever with the remakes. I haven't seen any of them. This one looks, I mean, I was like, well, they went all Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, which is always the easiest go-to, and it makes it look cool. And I was like, oh, and they use Chinese people, so that was nice.
Like, yeah.
You know, I'm obviously waiting for the people to be like,
No, most of what I've heard, like, said it looked cool, so it did look cool. So I've never seen that original Mulan, so I'll be looking forward to that. Before we go, I'll do a quick review of Midsommar.
I did, and there's a reason that it's not talked about.
Yes.
It's boring.
I mean, okay. You don't like fun with kids, so I don't know.
No, I saw that. I saw that when it first came out in the theater.
Okay.
And I was like, eh.
But you're old, so.
Yeah, but I also liked Aladdin and the other ones, so that actually doesn't hold up in this case.
Okay. You might be on to something, because I know sometimes you'd be a curmudgeon.
No.
Okay.
I used to see every Disney animated feature and when they came out, so.
Yeah. So, speaking of Disney happiness, I saw Midsommar.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you remember when he was asking me, saying, like, you know, people say it's shock and stuff like that. I'm like, yeah. Are you okay? Before I talk about, are you planning to see it?
Not in theaters. I'm going to have, I mean, we're pretty busy in the next couple of weeks, so.
So can I talk about it with spoilers?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so, yeah, people are getting murdered with hammers.
Oh, my God.
Right. Like, and when I say murdered with hammers, I'm, like, on some Sam Raimi Hostel type thing.
Oh.
Eli Roth type thing where, oh, yeah, you can see a skull crushed like a watermelon. And they zoom in, yes. So basically it's like, you know, a group of guys and one of God's girlfriends that's going through a tragedy going to this place. I think it's Sweden for like this festival, the celebration. And she's going through some stuff because her sister's bipolar and she committed suicide by, you know, carbon monoxide. But she killed her parents in the process too.
Oh, so it's a comedy. Okay.
Yeah, and you see that because you see the parents in the bed and they're dead. You see the tune tied to like the exhaust of the car and the lady's mouth. Yeah, so that's how the movie starts, like within the first 5 minutes. They go in Sweden, they take mushrooms, like, oh, it's celebration, we celebrate this. And they breaking down, like, you know, life split from seasons, 0 to 18, you do this. 18 to 36, you do this. 36 to 54, you do this, and 54, 72, you do that. They're like, what happened after 72? And the lady, like, do the thing with her neck. They laugh, like, oh, ha-ha, that's cute. So they're singing, and it's like a couple that's on top of a cliff, and one jumps off, swan dive, kills herself. So all the Americans are watching it, like, what in the world? And, like, you're watching this movie, you don't know what's going on, and then you see that. And they're like, it's this music going on, and then they just splat. And you see them jump off the cliff, and you see them hit the ground, and they don't move the camera, they don't cut away. You hear the body go, splat, skull splat. The guy does it, and he lands leg first.
So he
just breaks his legs, and he's all wailing and stuff like that, and they're booing him like, you damn coward. So they bring out the hammer, bash him in the head. So
What? All right, wait. What is the point of this movie?
No, it's basically, it's this ceremony where they reach a certain age. They realize, like, they reach the end of their life. And instead of, like, people worrying about where they can take care of themselves, when death comes, you lose your dignity. It's like, basically, we're choosing how we go out. These are our traditions. And it's a name for it. I don't feel like Googling it on Wikipedia, but that's, I guess that was the thing. And the... Yeah, so that happens. So of course it's like they were like, they're trying to figure out what in the world are we at. We trying to go home, and people trying to do their like, basically, so almost all the Americans die. The woman that's going in grief, like, her boyfriend's a dickhead. He's like the guy, who was he in the Transformers one with Mark Wahlberg when he's dating his daughter, and he's like 5 or 6 years older, and he's like, well, it's not statutory rape because I started dating her when I was of age. So it's technically allowed. Okay. Yeah, one of those assholes. So he steals his friend's thesis statement. He's gaslighting his girlfriend, like, you know, well, I would have broke up with you, but it's like, you know, I'm trying to stick up with you. Like, maybe it's your fault that you keep going through all this. Like, he's an asshole. You remember I said how the movie ends with him being burned alive in a bear suit?
See, now I want to see this movie. Like, this just sounds it just sounds like craziness.
Oh, it is craziness.
How did you how did you describe it to me on a Messenger? Typical white boy stuff or something?
Yeah, wait, like, was it? I always make this joke about these white guys that don't have any real problems, just search for them. And it's like the guy was going, it's the same guy that did Hereditary, Ari Aster. And apparently he was writing a script one way, and he went through a breakup during it, so he added to the story. It's like this way of, like, dealing with loss and reconciliation and stuff like that. And it's like they're there, and you see, like, they're at a dinner table and the leaves are moving, and you see it's just all this, like, the movie is beautiful and it's beautifully shot. It's just all this pretentious stuff where I'm just like, okay, yeah, they just want to show off, like, look at me, I'm smart, I read a history book once, and all this crap that I just turn my, like, I'm not a fan of pretentious movies, because a lot of times it's like, basically, like, I'm so much smarter than you. You busy watching Fast and the Furious, and I'm watching people get, you know, turning like human butterflies to figure out the meaning of loss. Like, whatever.
Did you, real quick, did you saw Mother, right?
Yes, I did.
We never talked about this on the show, did we?
No, we did not. We might have. I don't remember.
I don't think so. I would have remembered this one. I like Darren Aronofsky movies. Some of them. I watched this with Elise, and we're both sitting there, and for those who haven't seen it, I don't know if it's good. I just remember seeing it and going, what? And then I turned to her, and she goes, did they just eat the baby?
Mm-hmm.
And I went, I think so. And then so we rewound it, and yeah, there's a clear snap. They snap a baby's neck, and then they eat it. And I just went, what? And then it ends, and it starts over again. I'm going, huh? And I'm not stupid. I'm not the yeah. brightest, but I usually get movies. And I just went, so I actually had to look it up.
Mm-hmm.
It's supposed to be the story of creation.
Yes.
And I'm like, fuck you.
It's funny, Darlene got it instantly. And she's like, oh, you know, it's like a biblical story, stuff like that, which makes sense because I saw he likes doing that. I'm watching. I had the same expression you had. Like, what am I watching? Because at first, this is one movie they're doing. This he's a writer. And then Ed Harris shows up with Michelle Pfeiffer. And the son dies with the other son. Then all these other people show up. They're ripping the walls. Christian Wick show up. Then the military shows up. I'm like, what the?
Yeah.
What the hell am I? I'm like, what is this? Is this one of these I need to prove a point and show? Like, give me Michael Bay any day of the week. I'm sorry. Like, it's not that I don't get pretentious, like, quote-unquote pretentious, but I get them. It's just obnoxious. Because too many times it's just like, let me show you how smart I am because I read a few books.
My thing is, for this movie, we'd watched the whole thing. Like, we were almost to the... I was getting to the point where I'm like, I'm done with this. But then I realized we're almost done. So I'm like, let's just keep watching. And I will say, like, I don't get disturbed watching movies very often. That shit with the baby creeped me out. Because you don't see that. I mean, the baby's up there. It's pissing all over itself. Then they start passing it around. I'm going, this isn't going to end well, right? And then snap, munch, munch time. And I went,
my baby! Where is my baby?
Yeah.
My baby!
And then
Jennifer Lawrence losing her damn mind and blowing up the house.
And that was her fucking boyfriend that made the movie at the time. I'm like, okay, I don't know. Mean,
Hollywood's a weird place.
And it bombed hard. I guess.
Mean, yeah, it's like one of those...
But was it ever supposed... Was that movie going to make money? I mean,
it was like critics loved it. It was, you know, might have been a surprise. You never know with movies. Movies that might be good aren't good. Movies that you never think make money. Who would have guessed like John Wick was going to make more money than Dark Phoenix?
Yeah, well, oh. Apparently, I know we're trying to get out of here, but apparently that was a bigger bomb than Fantastic Four?
Yes, based on
craziness
like,
to me.
Yeah, based on like, you know, budget and amount of money. Like, yeah, because they spent so much making it. And it basically leads to a point where we sacrificed X-Men so we could save Alita. And I guess they were right because, like, Alita made money and they can keep moving forward making another Alita money. They figured, like, we're going to reboot X-Men anyway. So, yeah. But I was looking at the box office and basically, like, if you ain't Disney, you've been having a rough year for the most part. Like, I think us and John Wick and maybe like one other movie has been like the only movies this year that's like wasn't like Disney or Marvel that like did real well. I mean, I guess Shazam because it came out this year technically.
Yeah.
But beyond that, it's like it's been a rough go about.
And doesn't look like it's going to get any better. Well, you got Hobbs and Shaw. That's Universal.
Mm-hmm. And that's really about it till the wintertime. Because then it's going to be mostly Disney because they got Frozen 2 and Star Wars.
Yeah.
Both coming out this year. So, Sony has Jumanji. And
oh, yeah.
Yeah, and I'm trying to figure out what other big movies come out. And I guess, however, Once Upon a Time, are you?
Oh, I'm going to go see that, yeah.
What do you think about that? I guess we can wrap up with that.
I'm curious because Tarantino keeps saying he's done making movies after a certain amount.
Yeah, this one's supposed to be one more.
Yeah, and this was the one that was supposed to be about Charles Manson. And yeah. That's who the one guy is in the preview.
Mm-hmm.
I think it looks interesting. And it's Brad Pitt doing another Tarantino movie, which can't be a bad thing. And then you got
DiCaprio,
yeah, DiCaprio doing it again. So and Margot Robbie as well.
Yeah, I'm interested, but I don't know. And it's kind of like, I'm kind of a funny spot in Tarantino where I liked him more when I was younger than I do as I got older. And I think, because it's like, it's not like he's made bad. Like, it's none of the movies I thought were bad. But, you know, Hateful Eight was just, that was just a slog. Like, it was just too damn long. And it's just, I think it's more like, not necessarily the movies, it's kind of like, one, I don't feel like I used to, and then like Quentin Tarantino, like I'm just like, ugh, I just get this whole like icky feeling.
He's always been that way though. It just, now it's more pronounced.
Yeah. I think it's part of like, you start hearing stuff like, I think the stuff with like the Weinstein stuff and the Uma Thurman stuff and Kill Bill kind of like soured me on that.
Well, the Kill Bill stuff, she doesn't seem to be all that upset with him. So, I was always confused on that one. Like, why was that a big deal? Because she didn't seem to be all that mad at him. She said her story, and then he came out and was like, yeah, I messed up.
I mean, so, I'm glad she can forgive. It's still kind of, like, reckless.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that for yeah. sure.
And it's like, I think, it's like, I'm glad she don't hold a grudge, but some people, I'm like, cool, you don't got to be mad. I mean, I know it's the whole thing. If she ain't mad, you ain't got to be mad. It's like, it doesn't always work that way. The Weinstein stuff is like speech for itself. But then it's like, I mean, I'm going to see this. I have no idea what it's about. I'm glad they moved the date and then try to have like the anniversary when she died, like they originally had it.
Oh, God, so, really?
Yes.
That's just a dick move, to be honest.
Yes, that's my... And
that's
it's
not
like
a celebratory thing.
And that's my whole thing. It's like a lot of... It's like almost like Eminem. The shock and awe stuff works more when you're younger. When you're older, it's like you need to grow up.
Yeah.
And I'm almost at that point, like Quentin Tarantino, like, you know, grow up. And I wonder what his last movie going to be, because he still talks about Star Wars. Like, I mean, Star Trek, and it's like...
No. I can't imagine that.
I mean, do we really want to see that? I don't want to hear the N word in space.
And I think that's one of the weird parts. Like, we watched Jamie Foxx, Django Unchained.
Mm-hmm.
Whew. I turned to Elise and I saw that in the theater. She goes, "Yeah, I saw it with you." Which I'm like, "No, you didn't." Anyways, actually, she did, but. I knew there was, how do I want to say this, colorful language in that movie. After a while, I looked at her, I go, this is uncomfortable, right? And you know me, I'm not squeamish about this
stuff.
Mm-hmm. And even I went, okay, look, it's really getting to be a bit much. And I know it's like, you know, it's the times, whatever, I don't care.
It probably felt bad then too, like that's the point. So yeah, I felt that way watching The Hateful Eight. Like I didn't. It's funny where Django. It's funny Django didn't bother me as much as Hateful Eight did. You know, Django should have, because it's like, you know, I don't know why. Like Hateful Eight is like, this was just between
Hateful
how they were treating
weird.
It's between how they were treating Jennifer Jason Leigh,
playing up the they kept roughing her up for comedy.
Yeah, like all that stuff was uncomfortable. The stuff with Samuel Jackson and the flashbacks. I'm like,
his son's face. I'm like,
yeah, like, man. And he's gonna be the hero. Like, we sort of like him because the other people being all racist. Like, I don't want to see Kurt Russell like that. Like, no, like Walter Goggins, fine. Every time I see Walter Goggins, I think he a villain anyway, It's fine. But I don't want to see this Kurt Russell. No, Yeah, I've watched that once. I haven't watched it since.
I own all his stuff. So the one I haven't gone back to is Jackie Brown, but that was on the other day, and I'm like, I don't remember any of this.
Yeah, I've either owned or watched all his stuff at least once, but the only one I'll watch multiple times, like Jackie Brown's, is easy to watch. Inglourious Basterds sometimes.
I really like that. I really like that one. I know it's slow. There's not a whole lot going on, but I don't know. I was always captivated whenever I watched that one. I'll watch it every time it's on.
Yeah, like, I've only seen, what is it, Death Proof? I've seen that twice. I'm like, that's just icky.
Death Proof, I think I've seen that once, and I was just marveling at the stunt work.
Yeah, the stunt work, I'll give it credit, was awesome. Everything around it was just like,
I don't really remember what it was. Didn't he would put women in the side in the car, and crash, so she
died when he wasn't hitting other cars. So basically, he was like, "I'm picking up women to kill them."
Yeah, that was it. And it didn't really follow the whole Grindhouse thing. Like, it was just a Tarantino flick.
Mm-hmm. So, like, they had like the whole "I'm gonna have a stripper scene," and then she about to start, and then the movie cuts to the end. It's like a deleted scene somewhere where you see the actual dance and stuff like that. But it's like, I mean, yeah. I don't know. I mean, it's coming out. It's really around this time. Like, it's almost like I'm killing time for Hobbs and Shaw.
Yeah, which I have to figure out what I'm going to do because Kevin's actually going to be here. So I got to see if he wants to go see that.
Yes, he wants to go see that. He already does.
Okay. Well, we'll have to see when he gets here then, because he's stopping here on his way to Georgia. So I'm pretty excited about that one.
No, The Rock's busy making moves, because shout out to The Rock, that movie with Gal Gadot that now has Ryan Reynolds written, it's going to be on Netflix, and they say that budget might hit $200 million.
How much longer are we going to have Netflix around? Because they don't make money.
Yes, they do.
No, they have flat out said they don't.
Yeah, they can say that all they want. It's like come on now.
I don't know,
man. Think how many people have Netflix and how much Netflix subscriptions are.
I have no idea how much it is.
I mean, like, I have, because mine went up because I have everything. It's like $16.
Okay.
So just think about how many people have, like, between $10 and $15 from what? How many millions of people? And it's not just America. Like, they're one of the only places that, like, worldwide people stream. Like, other places seem to struggle when it's not United States. And it's like, they not dumb. It's not like Eric Bischoff is blowing money. Like, just think about the fact that it's like, oh, they're spending all this money to do that. They're doing it for a reason. And it's kind of like, they're not doing it just to do it. It's like, we want to get a head start. Because everybody's going to have streaming now.
Yeah, and that's something we can get into when we get back. Yeah. Because that's something that we need to talk about. So
it's like, everyone, you know, it's going to be a fight of, like, which dogs you have. Like, Netflix, they got the foot in the door first.
You know, we literally didn't talk about anything we had on the agenda, I don't think.
We talked about Sasha Banks.
Yeah, that was it. Mm-hmm. All right. But anyways, we got to get going. So, because I got to go get dinner. So, yeah, so no show next week. It's an impossibility. So we will be back in 2 weeks' time. So thanks for listening. And you can go back in the archives if you want. And everything we said we already talked about, try and find them. Give us a little bump. So anyways, thanks for listening, guys, and we will talk to you at the end of July.
For Jeremy Reyes, I'm Shahida Duhati, and go ahead and make that damn money. We are out.